You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's time to dive into our sight loss story feature. Today, we are speaking to William Ogden, and we'll find out more about William's sight loss journey, but also a few of his other interests. William, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me today.
So before we talk about your interest in music and festivals and arts and culture, can you tell us a little bit about your sight condition and how you're diagnosed?
Yes, absolutely. And so I was born profoundly deaf, and I was also born blind in my right eye. And I also had nystagmus in my left eye from birth. Interestingly, I still haven't been given a diagnosis in terms of how it happened, because understandably, it was something that, you know, we didn't really quite want to look back on, because it was obviously a traumatic episode for all of us, including my parents, God bless them. So I'm actually about to discover it.
When it comes to adapting to life with sight loss and hearing loss, you know, how was that for you, and what have you found to be most helpful to help you adapt?
I had hearing aids when I was born deaf, and the hearing aids, what they do is they amplify what little natural sound you have left to amplify that, and it didn't work for me. So at the age of 4 years old, I had a cochlear implant, and a cochlear implant is advanced technology that helps me to hear as well as navigate the sight loss as well as hearing. And what helped me with my cochlear implant is to be able to use British Sign Language, as well as being able to hear and using those methods of communications to feel that I can be part of different communities. And being partially sighted as well as deaf is quite a unique kind of identity to be associated with. So throughout the years, it's been wonderful to be able to talk about my sight loss, and I felt that really helped me, weirdly, just to be able to talk about it, and so that people are aware. You know, sometimes, you know, I will struggle, I will get communication fatigue, I am, you know, more tired when I, you know, engage with the wonderful people that we have in this world today. And I think that helped me the most, in a strange way, where if you're more open about it and you can talk to people, and if they accept you, obviously they should be, that makes me feel like I can have my down days and I can be able to grumble and moan about it, because at times it can be a struggle. And because I have such welcoming friends and family, it just feels so wonderful to be able to be proud of my disabilities in a way.
Now, I want to talk to you about music, because, you know, we all experience and access music in some way, shape or form. You yourself, that's one of your passions. So can I ask you, how do you experience and access music to make it work for you?
It's thanks to my parents, because they not only taught me to, you know, to be able to speak as well as sign at a young age when I was implanted, but also they've taught me how to listen to music. So when I was young, I remember feeling the vibrations on the speakers, and my mum and dad, bless them, used to turn up the music really loud, and I was able to feel the vibrations from the band. And I think it was Bob Marley and Blur and, you know, all those kind of classical kind of songs back in the 90s. And that kind of evolved into me wanting to go to gigs all the time and festivals. So listening to live music has always been very accessible to me, because it's, to be quite frankly with you, it's loud. And I have the privilege to be involved also to be a British Sign Language coordinator, where I work with interpreters to interpret the acts themselves. And as someone who's always advocated for accessibility for deaf and deafblind people to enjoy music, and to not only just enjoy the music, but to be part of that community. And I think that's what music does to me. And I know it does for people. It brings people together, this sense of unity. And I feel with working with British Sign Language interpreters It's such a privilege to be part of that. Amazingly, this is not an advert for Spotify, but Spotify now has a new feature where it can show you lyrics. So I used to rely on YouTube to learn the lyrics, and obviously, you know, the lyrics on YouTube is helpful because it tells you when it's been sung. And now Spotify has that. So it's a very handy app for me. So if I'm learning to listen to new music, I would obviously go through the lyrics and then I kind of memorize them and whatnot. So so much has changed, you know, compared to 10 years ago to now. So I do feel that music has become much more accessible than before. And I'm very grateful for that.
You mentioned going to, you know, festivals, concerts and cultural events. You also have a passion to creating accessible environments for these types of events. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
As I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, making events accessible, you know, to be able to provide interpreters so that, you know, deaf people can be able to be engaged with the art. And not just that, for deafblind people as well. And I know a lot of deafblind people who are being encouraged to go to these gigs because, and understandably, the first point being is that they would be quite overwhelmed and nervous to be in such a big space where there's lots of people, and, you know, they understandably would be feel like they're at risk. But I think being able to go with a friend or a PA, you know, to be encouraged to go to those concerts is something that I've always been, you know, passionate about. And I would need a PA as well to accommodate me, just in case, you know, if I find that the venue is difficult to access in terms of my eyes, then I know that I've got someone that kind of leads me to the actual concert itself. And I should just mention that I'm trying to do a lot of more of these kind of accessible events, because I've kind of been associated with a charity myself called Decibels, and it's a very small charity, and we're kind of currently wanting to provide more accessible shows for deaf and deafblind people. And I feel that we need more people to encourage people to attend these concerts and whatnot, because it's such a beautiful way of bringing people together. So that's kind of what I'm doing as well. You know, I'm kind of advocating and encouraging people to engage with the arts. It's not just music, it can be for theatre as well, and it can be for even going to an art gallery. You know, it's all there for us to enjoy. And so I'm kind of associated with that. But more importantly, I do a lot of the work with interpreters so that it's accessible for deaf people. And of course, for deaf blind people as well, who uses tactile British Sign Language. And that is becoming increasingly in demand, understandably, because deaf blind people are using British Sign Language as a form to be able to communicate with others. And we're now having to implement that specialist language in interpreters to be able to provide that. So hopefully we'll have interpreters doing tactile British Sign Language so that deafblind people can also enjoy the many art forms that is out there today.
Fantastic, William. You do plenty of great work. And now, based on your own journey and your own experiences and how you adapted and, you know, your passions and the things you are working to achieve now, what advice would you give to other blind and partially sighted people who may be new to sight loss and could do with advice as to where to start, how to adapt? What would you say to them?
The one thing that I would like to do to tell them to live life to the max. I know that sounds cliche, but just to be proud of who they are, you know, to be proud of themselves and to be able to, you know, it's a difficult and complex condition that I've got myself, but I never let it define who I am. I kind of go out there and make the most of it. So I think my advice would be is to just get out there and make the most of it. You know, go and see all the fantastic things that are out there and find your passion. Find something that really makes you want to do it. You know, it could be, you know, going to watch art or theatre or even learning to play a musical instrument or to learn to be a DJ. You know, it doesn't have to be something that, you know, you take seriously. It can be something that you just enjoy doing. And I think that's one of my biggest advice is for you to find something that makes you happy. And, you know, because your, you know, disabilities, you know, as I, you know, would like to say for myself, because I would like to say that it shouldn't define who you are.
That is a great message to end on, William, and you certainly do a lot of great work, and hopefully we can find out more about it another time as well. But thank you very much for sharing your sight loss story with us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.